As we continue on this week, as we continue on through Isaiah, we're going to be looking at chapters 31 and 32. This is a, again, another larger chunk of Scripture. I encourage you to just continue reading. Where am I? Next week, our missionary speaker will be speaking. Please note that they will be speaking from someplace probably other than Isaiah 33, where I will be the first week in October. So if you're wondering where I'm going to be October 7th, that will be Isaiah 33. That will be excellent. So today, 31 and 32. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Yet, He too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back His words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, he who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. This is what the Lord says to me. As a lion growls, a great lion, over his prey, and though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he will not be frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down and do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. Like birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Return to Him you have so greatly revolted against. Return to Him whom you have so greatly revolted against, O Israelites. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold your sinful hands have made. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and the young men will be put to forced labor. Their stronghold will fall because of terror. At the sight of the battle standard, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. See, a king will reign in the righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from storms, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. When the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, or the scoundrel be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. You women are so complacent. Rise up and listen to me, you daughters who feel secure. Hear what I have to say. In a little more than a year, you who feel secure will tremble. The grape harvest will fail. The harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble, you complacent women. Shudder, you daughters who feel secure. Strip off your clothes. Put sackcloth around your waist. Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vines, and for the land of my people, a land overgrown with thorns and briars. Yes, mourn for all the houses of merriment and for this city of revelry. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever. The delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks, till the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile street and the fertile field seems like a forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and the righteous will live in the fertile field, and the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for your word, Lord. There's so much here. We just ask right now that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us. Father God, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach this morning, I would speak forth your truth, your power, to your glory. Father, fix every ear to hear what's only of you, and might everything else not be heard. And Lord, we ask that your word would be spoken well now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we sowing disasters or are we sowing blessings? That's kind of the question here today. It's kind of either or, because whatever we do in our lives, we're going to sow one or the other. Okay, Fred, you can put the first slide up. That's just the title slide. So are you sowing a disaster or are you sowing blessings in your lives? Because what we do is going to grow a crop. Okay? I'm defining living as sowing. Okay? By what we do, how we interact, this is the sowing that we're speaking about. So, next slide. Question is, are you trusting yourself or the world? Is this where your trust is? Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in the things and powers and people of the world? Here they are. And the result is woe from Isaiah. He's saying woe, which isn't, in this sense, it's not stopped, though it could be. We're saying woe as in, oh, this is terrible, this is awful. This is the type of woe. Woe is me, woe. It's just a nice onomatopoeia thing that woe also means stop in English. I don't know as it does in the Hebrew. That I've neglected to study that part. But we see woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, trust in the multitudes in their chariots. See, they're trusting in their own wisdom. We got trouble coming. See, they see what's happening, that there's trouble on the horizon. There's things happening on the world that are scary. Now, do any of you have any difficulties or scary things happening in your lives? Okay. Well, are you trusting in yourself? Or are you trusting in the world? Is this where you're putting your faith? Is this where you're trusting? Well, next slide. You know, many disasters come from the world and from our own failures. We have these things coming. If these disasters are coming, and we're looking out there at sin, who are we trusting? They come from the world. They come from our own failures. What is our failure? Next slide. To trust God. Are we trusting God? You see, a failure is not trusting God. In verse 2, it says, yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. In Psalm 20, verse 7, which is the next slide, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, they were putting their trust in horses. Horses represented power. They what drove the chariots. It's like saying, I'm trusting in tanks. I'm trusting in armored personnel carriers. Okay, I'm trusting in war machinery. That's what the horses represented. that power, that wealth that was needed. You can't have those type of things without wealth, because they cost money to maintain. Jason, Donna's and I, oldest son, was a mechanic for the Army working on helicopters. The helicopters don't fly that much, but they're fixing on them every day. They're doing maintenance so that they don't break down, but then they still do break down. Okay? They require, to keep that one helicopter, took a whole bunch of people to care for it. The same thing with a horse. You say, well, a horse isn't so bad. They need people to drive the horse. They need people to care for it, to provide the food for it, to show. It takes resources. And the question here the command here is, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Why is that? Because in Deuteronomy 17, next slide, this command was given. It says, the king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. And also in Deuteronomy, next slide, 20, 1 through 4, it says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into the battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. Okay, they weren't supposed to go back down to Egypt and try to get more horses, try to get no weaponry. They were supposed to go to God. But we see, that's not what they're doing. That's why Isaiah is bringing the woe. As we go through our lives, what are we doing? Are we going to the world and saying, can I get the help there? Or are we turning to God? Next slide. It says, God too will bring disaster. God promises disaster. His word actually says, he does not take back his words. He too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. God told us not to do it. Don't do that. Well, when we do that, sometimes we think that we're following another scripture passage, which he actually references immediately after this, Isaiah does. He references Ecclesiastes 4:8. 4:8 through 12, and it reads this. It says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and what am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have good return for the work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is how we misuse Scripture. We often think that if we go out and we get somebody to come alongside us. See, I'm in this alone. See, God's Word says, I need to have that person next to me. You know, two are not easily overcome. You know, working alone is not good. It's not. But this is where it's so important that we're following God's direction in this. God's very specific about who we're supposed to be yoked with. This whole thing about who we're supposed to be married to. Okay, God tells us. It shouldn't even be a question. God tells us who and what we're supposed to do in so many ways. What is the question here? Well, we don't want to do it that way. So we don't. And guess what? It comes up and bites us. See, we forget the last part of that part that we just read. It says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Or maybe we remember the version that says, more is not easily broken. A cord of three strands. We're talking about two. How did all of a sudden the third strand get in there? Because it's assumed that God is the one directing who we're going to be partnered with, who it is that we're doing. Are we turning to God for our direction so that He can say, oh, go with that one over there. Go there. Again, this is not what the people are doing. This is not what Israel's doing. They're looking in their own wisdom and they're saying, well, we got these big bad guys over here. Who's the biggest, baddest guy we can find that we can maybe make friends with? And they go to Egypt, who they specifically been told, don't go there. We're just trying to follow this idea of we're going to have two of us together. We can't be overcome. Wrong. It says, but the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh with spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, he who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. Why? Because God's hand is against them. Why? Because they were outside of God's will. It wasn't God directing who they were with. Next slide. It's Deuteronomy 28:20. It reads, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking Him. Because of the evil you have done in forsaking Him. In leaving His direction, in not following Him, we've done evil. The people of Israel, of Jerusalem, of Judea, they've turned from God. They've done evil. And God's Word promises that He will bring curses. And then, if you follow on and read in chapter 28, it lists out all these. These are disaster after disaster that are these curses. And why are they coming? Because they, if you forsake God, this is the result. It's laid out in God's Word. A little bit farther, 28, 29, verses 24 through 28. It says, all the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce burning anger? And the answer will be, is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant He made with them when He brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods He had not given them. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against them, this land, so that He brought on it all the curses written in this book. In furious anger and in great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land and thrust them into another land as it is now. This is what he's talking about here where he says, yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He has a covenant with the people of Israel. It's an agreement. You shall worship me and I shall protect you. I shall be with you. I shall provide for you. I shall care for you. God tells them that He is a jealous God. They're not to have any other gods before Him. That He doesn't want them following other ways. He wants them to follow His way only. That's what He directs them to. Very, very specific in this covenant. And it's laid out. These are the blessings you'll get, but these are the consequences of not following in it. See, He does not take back His words. God said He's going to bring judgment. He is going to do it. Trust Him in this. It may not be right immediately right now, but it's going to come. If what? If we forsake Him. If we don't follow Him. But in that passage, as we follow along, in later, as we follow in Deuteronomy, it's also teaching us, it says, now that I am commanding you today, is not too difficult for you to, or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your hearts so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws, that you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth and witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that your children may live. That you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life. And He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Isaiah 31, 6 through 9 says, return to Him. You have so greatly revolted against, O Israelites. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold and your sinful hands have made. And Assyria will fall on a sword not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and their young men will be put to forced labor. Their strongholds will fall because of evil. At the sight of the battle standard, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Isaiah lays it right out there. It's right in line with what was laid out in Deuteronomy. God doesn't take back His words. He's told them, if you do this, you will bring disaster. But if you turn, if you follow Me, then He will be the one who will protect them. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals. That's God. That's God who's going to fight their battles for them. God who will care for them. Next slide. When the Holy Spirit is poured out on us from heaven, we will be blessed. See, the judgments that are spoken of, the things that will happen, those who are complacent saying, "Oh, it's going to be fine, it's fine, it's fine, see, nothing's come against us, but one day it's going to happen, boom, and these judgments are going to come." And those judgments will come until the Spirit is poured on us from high. And it's when we receive that Holy Spirit, when we receive God, receive the blessing of God, and we live in it, then what we're doing will be blessed. Then how blessed we will indeed be. We'll actually be sowing your seed by every stream. Though the hail flattens the forest, the city is leveled completely. How blessed you will be sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. You don't need to worry about somebody stealing them. They're going to be fine. We don't need to be worried because we're in God's hand. The people of Jerusalem, the people that Isaiah is talking to, are so worried and upset because they see disaster coming at them. They don't know how in the world they can avoid it. In and of themselves, they can't. And if they go chasing after things of the world to try, they're going to fail. In fact, God is going to actively work against them. And guess what? The same thing goes for us in our lives. If we don't trust in God, if we trust in the world to protect us from the world, God's Word tells us that He is actively going to work against us. Because He hates us? No. But because this was the promise. And so that ultimately we will turn from our wicked ways and turn to Christ. We'll stop being trying to follow the world and follow the one who is the creator of the world. It's like we sow disaster and curses by being disobedient to God. Okay? When we're disobedient to God, we are sowing disaster and curses into our lives. What are we doing in our lives? We need to be asking ourselves these questions. What are we doing that is disobedient to God? And when we do that, we are sowing disaster. You will reap it, whatever it is you sow. So here it is. We're going to sow disaster. But... Next slide is when we sow restoration and blessings by trusting God in all things. Is we sow restoration and blessing in our lives by trusting God in all things. Okay, next slide. We are not to seek God only for those things, that's spiritual stuff. Some people say, you know, this really isn't God's purview. It's not religious. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. Everything affects our interaction with God, our relationship with God. And this is what Isaiah is laying out to these people so much. But if we do seek God, then we will have those blessings. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The minds of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. Why and how? Through turning back to God, returning to Him. Even if we've revolted from Him, we can return to Him and receive the blessing. For everything is spiritual in the way it affects our relationship with God. Last slide. Ultimate question is, are you sowing disaster or are you sowing blessing? Are you trusting yourself and the world or are you trusting God? Those are the two camps. If you are trusting the world and yourself, you are sowing disaster into your life. If you are trusting God, you are sowing blessing. You are sowing. What are you sowing? Disaster or blessing? Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we give You praise. We thank You for Your Word. We ask right now, Lord, that You would open our eyes to see and examine our lives, that we might know what it is we are sowing. Are we indeed sowing blessing or are we sowing disaster in our lives? Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, that we would sow nothing but blessing in our lives, that we would turn to follow You in all ways, at all times, and all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we close by singing
Spirit of the Living God.